This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Asia Durr, legendary Louisville basketball player. Well, join us coming up about 15 minutes. Yep. We look forward to that. Number for the show is 844-SAY-ACCN. And it's also true that we continue to stream live on the ESPN app. You've got us on Sirius XM Channel 371 as well. Mark Packer, Wes Durham, cast of thousands. Thanks to Coach G. I guess that's what we can call him, right, Coach G?
Oh, come on. Come on. Come on.
I can't say Coach K. We can't go Coach K. And he even said you can't call him Coach K.
Gia.
No, I get that. But I like Coach
Ready?
G.
Gia.
Oh, go for it. Go.
Kavraskelia. Kavraskelia.
I didn't sound anything like what he said, broadcasting guy. Didn't sound anything like it. I know you've been working on it, but it didn't sound anything like it.
Thanks also to Kelly Gramlich for being a part of the show. Asia Durr joins us in 15 minutes. We move on.
There you go.
Okay? All right. You mentioned this yesterday.
I did, whatever you're saying.
And our crack staff put this together that we've been spoiled with ACC basketball.
Oh, yeah. That, you see.
And sometimes you have to have that empty feeling to understand just how good you've had it. Right? In other words, you and I remember 1979. Not many do.
Right, that's true. We almost take it for granted as ACC basketball fans. Oh, yeah, Final Four, yeah, we're in it. Elite Eight, oh, yeah, we own it. Sweet 16, we invented it, right? It's almost, I mean, and the ACC basketball fan this time of year is involved because normally the league's involved, right? I mean, this is what makes the ACC the standard when it comes to college basketball. And others will go, well, you guys are conceited. You're full of it. Yeah. Hey, no, when you're used to seeing it all the time, you just assume that's what it is, right? Mm-hmm. And as you pointed out, Wes, sometimes you get a year like this past one to make you take a step back and start doing a little inventory by going, hey, you know what? It isn't just as easy as rolling the ball out for Coach K or Roy Williams or Jim Boeheim or Tony Bennett or Leonard Hamilton or fill in the blank with your favorites. And it's not just a recent memory deal. This has been going on for decades upon decades upon decades. And that's what's made ACC basketball so special. So I said yesterday, almost tongue-in-cheek, that we really have become spoiled rotten. Whether you're a fan, a coach, a player, the media that covers this league and has gotten so used to, again, of Sweet 16s and Elite Eights and Final Fours and putting up banners. So as you pointed out, the crack staff, the smart folks up in Bristol, are going to point out here in these next 10 to 15 minutes with some graphics, some stats, to show you just how dominant and consistently good the league has been.
So let's take it back 40 years, because really that's the marker to which it's the only real fair way to measure the impact the ACC's had. 1979, we told you, 0-2. Duke, Carolina lost on a Sunday afternoon in Raleigh, known as Black Sunday. That was then. From that point forward, 1980, the ACC essentially has dominated the landscape of major college basketball. First of all, you got tournament successes, Pac. That's the thing. When you start looking at the ACC, 397 tournament wins since 1980, 55 more than the Big Ten. That's a crazy number.
And keep in mind, the other conferences that you're going to see on this list have had great success. All right, this is not just a, hey, it's us and nobody else. No, that's not the case. You don't win it every year. That's true whether we're talking football, basketball, baseball, well, maybe not fencing because Notre Dame owns fencing. But the point that we're making here is the longevity. This is not of, hey, we've won two of the last three or five of the last eight, which the league really basically has.
Right.
It goes a lot deeper than that. And this is why there's always been a basketball, hey, we kind of invented it around these parts, right? I know folks in Kansas are going to scream at me, but you know what I'm saying here, that you always kind of measure where your league is based on what the ACC is doing, based on the numbers we're getting ready to give you. And this is exactly why we have the attitude that we do when it comes to basketball.
Well, and I think, too, we showed you conference tournament wins since 1980. How about national championships? I mean, because realistically, it takes, as I said earlier, a year like this to understand maybe how good you've had it. You've had four more than the nearest guy.
Yep. And the Big East has been excellent. And the SEC's had spikes. Oh. And, of course, the Big Ten, ironically, looking to win their first one since the year 2000. And they better hope Michigan goes WWW or else that streak will continue. And they've had a terrific basketball conference.
Right. Just, I mean, and everybody, we can look at, you know, the last three ACC national champions, but 13 of them in 40 years. And that's a mark that's pretty tough to get.
Well, I mean, again, if you want to go recent memory, I mean, you mentioned 15, 17, 19, when you go Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, three different teams. And you go back to the history of the conference and see who's had an opportunity to put one of those giant banners. That's not Duke, North Carolina, or Virginia. There's multiple, right? Multiple. So,
yep.
Again, the league's been tremendous. Like, again, these numbers don't lie. The numbers are the numbers.
Yeah. And national championships and Final Fours are interesting because, as we were talking about with Kelly, important like tonight on the women's side, maybe Louisville breaks through to help kind of validate the good work of the rest of the league. Well, the ACC's done that, too. The Final Four scenarios, you got 34 of those since 1980. Now, Pac, here's the interesting part about this stat. How about the Big Ten with 28, and yet we're talking about kind of an empty national title run in 20-some years for that league?
Well, to me, that's one of the questions I asked on the radio show before the tournament started was, who has more pressure on them? A, Gonzaga.
Right.
Because they're undefeated. They're going to Indiana, where, again, the Hoosiers in 76 were the last team to run a table. So there's a pressure on, hey, can you hold serve really in the backyard of where the last time it happened with Indiana fans? Or B, the entire Big Ten, who had nine teams go to the dance more than anybody else. And here we are, we get to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and there's only one guy standing. And they've been really, really good. I think they put 13 teams in the Final Four since the last time they cut it down. They've just not been able to cut the nets down. And maybe Michigan can pull it off. We'll have to wait and see. But, you know, that's a question that we don't have that problem in this league. You know, we don't worry about, man, we haven't won one in a while. No, well, we win it all the time. You know, that's the thing. We get teams in the Final Four all the time. We're in the Elite Eight all the time. Sweet 16, 41 consecutive tournaments. I mean, the standard of which we've become spoiled rotten, per se, because of the excellence and the consistency of it, to have a year in which you basically are left sitting on the couch, hey, it'll slap you upside the head a little bit to say, okay, you know what? Let's not take this for granted. This is hard to do. The consistency in this league has been nothing short of amazing over an extended period of time. And, again, we're going back to 1980 for crying out loud.
Yeah. Well, and interesting, too, because you can narrow the field a little bit to maybe the last decade or so when it comes to just wins in college basketball. And the ACC, because even though they've had the three national titles in the last five, you can still see a window of success for this conference. And it should be no surprise. Now, is it the top of the list? No. But this has also come at a period of realignment, a little bit of volatility in the landscape. But look at Virginia, Duke, Carolina, and Louisville all in the top 15 of wins in the last decade. No other conference has more than two schools in the top 15. And the ACC's got four. That is stout.
Now, all of this that we're giving you is going to lead to the question I asked Dan Bonner yesterday, and that is, all right, what's next? I mean, we didn't have we didn't have a tournament in 2020. 2021's tournament has been less than stellar based on the standards that we're used to around these parts. So what's 22 and beyond going to look like for the league? We got tradition. We got history. We got banners. We got great Hall of Fame coaches. The transfer portal's nuts. Who knows what a roster is going to look like for any team. It is going to be fascinating to see how we move forward as a conference in men's basketball, given what happened this year and where the landscape of the sport currently finds itself.
It's also a curious landscape of players, coaches, isn't it? You know, we've almost kind of referred to Jim Larrañaga, Leonard Hamilton, Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, Jim Boeheim, this legendary grouping, if you will. Then you've got Tony Bennett and Chris Mack and guys who are emerging, and some have emerged, right? You've got guys that have done it for more than a decade and done it at an incredibly successful level from a coaching perspective. Brad Brownell at Clemson comes to mind there. Pac, I don't know if it's a transitive time in the ACC as much as it is a transitive time for the sport itself, right?
Could be both. Could easily be both. In fact, I think it will be both. We're not looking to kick any coach out. And again, I say this all the time. I don't fire coaches on radio or TV. But let's be honest. The ACC is going to go through a really interesting transformation from a men's basketball perspective when you're talking about not only really good coaches. No, I'm talking about legendary Hall of Fame all-time coaches. And, you know, right. You got to figure in the next 5 years, you're going to see some guys go, hey, it's been an incredible run. It's time for me to go hang out with the grandkids and put my feet up and maybe do radio and television, kick these guys off the air and really give you some information. But we're going to see that happen. I mean, it's the evolution of sports that you see that happen. And so for this year in the ACC for basketball, for the men, it's been a bizarre year. But, you know, for every one of these years, I'll give you 40 years where, you know what, league's pretty good. League's cut down nets. League's got a bunch of folks with a single digit beside their name from a ranking perspective. I mean, keep in mind, just to put things in perspective, I gave you the first team, second team, third team All-Americans. There were none in the ACC this year on the men's side. First time ever. You know what? We didn't have a team in the final AP top 10 for the first time since the 1959-60 season. You heard me. 59-60 season. So this was a really bizarre year as far as the men's basketball season goes. And I get to watch this thing now from a bounce back. As you know, when you have Hall of Fame coaches and great tradition in history, facilities, fan bases, the bounce back could be really intriguing to watch. And it will be sitting in our respective chairs and couches for the 21-22 season.
Yep. I agree with you on that. I think it'll be very, very intriguing to watch this offseason unfold in college basketball. Excited to welcome Asia Durr to this program. Louisville plays Stanford tonight in a 1-2 game to determine a spot in the women's Final Four out in Texas. She played at an incredibly high level for Jeff Walls. Native of Atlanta, who has had just a sparkling career, both professionally and collegially. We're looking forward to talking to the legendary Louisville player, Asia Durr, next on Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. All right, we got a legend coming up next now. I'm not kidding. Legend.
No, legend. Yeah, player, the whole bit, whole deal right here, Coach. Mm-hmm. This is it. I mean, you know, we've had good players on here before, and then we've had legends. This legend. Mm-hmm. This is not a joke right here.
That's right.
Go get it. Go Asia, get it right now.
Asia Durr joins us right now to talk a little Louisville basketball and other stuff. Asia, first of all, good morning. We really appreciate the time, and it's always exciting this time of year in Louisville, isn't it? Time for another Final Four opportunity.
Yes, thank you for having me. This is definitely an exciting time. It is my favorite time of the year, so I'm tuned in. I'm excited for tonight, and I'm going to be glued to my TV.
Asia, what's it like being a former player watching this? Is it nerve-wracking?
It's always going to be that way, including while I was playing, my nerves were always bad. I mean, I remember going back to high school and we would play teams that we had already played and we know that we were 30 points better than that team and I would still be nervous. So that's never going to change. I love to compete, especially this is my favorite time of the year. So my nerves definitely get bad, but I'm very confident in them, and I'm just super excited, and I'm thankful for this team. I'm thankful for the coaching staff, and I'm one of their biggest fans, so I'm super excited.
AJ, you won the ACC Player of the Year twice. Dana Evans has been on our show a half dozen times, and she's great. What do you see in her game that you go, you know what? She reminds me of me.
Yeah, she's super talented. She's very skilled, and she could score. She lets the game come to her, too. If you need her to score, she will. As you guys saw on their last game, she was dishing out mm-hmm. the ball early. You know, she does whatever Coach Wall tells her to do. And that's what I saw with her. Her first year there, I'm like, Dana really does, like, whatever the coach tells her to do, she will do that, and she'll get it done. And she was one of my favorite players to play with, because it's just, you don't get too many players like that where the coach will literally tell you, hey, I just need you to pass this game. She's like, okay, got it. Or next game, hey, I need you to score 20 points. I need you to get out and score. And she'll do that, and it's simply amazing the type of player that she is. Her quickness, her burst is one of a kind. It is crazy how quick she is, and she's always been that quick, but each year she gets quicker. And I just love to see the type of player that she's becoming.
Asia, if you had to measure, and I know you guys got a chance to play together, but what do you like similarly to her game and your game? What do you think is the biggest value for her tonight? Is it scoring, or is it getting Haley, Micaiah, other players involved to get Louisville comfortable against the kind of stuff Stanford throws at you?
It's going to be both. She's going to need to score, and she's going to need to get her teammates involved. Stanford is a great program. They're well coached. So she's going to have to do everything. And what I mean by that is she's going to have to score, but she's also going to have to, you know, pass too and make great players. She's going to have to be a playmaker. They're going to throw some defenses at her to try to slow her down. And that's when she goes to her teammates, get them some easy baskets, you know, and then that's when Stanford will mix up their defense. And then they'll, you know, start guarding her teammates heavily, and then that'll free her up. So she's going to have to do both things. She's going to have to get out, you know, get her teammates some cheap, you know, great baskets, and then the game will come to her. So this is going to be an exciting game. That's how Stanford plays. That's how most, you know, top programs play. They'll try to slow down the top player, the best player, early. They'll probably put her in a box of one, box to chase her, deny her the ball, something like that. And she doesn't need to panic. Just play calm, you know, play chill, let the game come to her, and we'll be just fine.
Hey, Asia, I hope they don't remember that 2018 Sweet 16 game you played against Stanford when you beat them by about 100, because a bunch of smart kids out there in Stanford, they might remember what you did to them a couple years ago.
They probably do. And Dana, I believe she was on that team as well. And they probably do. You know, that coach, she's a great coach. I'm pretty sure she's, you know, telling her team how great of a program we are. So it's going to be a dogfight. We got to bring our A game, and we got to be on top of it.
All right, Asia, we've had more fun with Jeff Walls on this show than Dana's been on here a half dozen times. Jeff's been on here a bunch. In games like this, what's Coach Walls like?
In games like this, he's serious. He's Coach Walls. He might crack a joke or two if something funny happens, just to light, you know, the mood up, because some players might be too focused, too, you know, zoned in. And he's like, guys, just have fun, loosen up. So he might say something funny here or there. But for the most part, we're all locked in. We're tuned in. We are in the zone. Before the game, you can hear a pin drop. That's how quiet it is before game time. So it's so much fun, though. It's so exciting. That's what makes it so much fun. Like, it's a ton of fun. I really can't even put it into just one word to describe how much fun it is playing in games like this.
Asia, what would a fourth Final Four for Louisville mean to you, the city, the program, big picture? I know you want to cut down the nets ultimately. That's a given. But to make it to four Final Fours under the Jeff Walls regime and you being such a huge part of that, what would that mean?
It would just speak volumes on to how great this program is. They're destined for that. They're destined for greatness. And they're definitely, you know, destined for another Final Four. They deserve it. They've worked hard. This year has been a challenging year due to the pandemic and COVID and, you know, stops and pauses during the season. So they deserve it, man. They've stayed 10 toes down throughout the whole year, and they've done nothing but fight. We're a young team, but we still keep on fighting. We still keep on fighting, and that's what I love. They don't ever quit. They're so talented. They're well-coached. They're disciplined, too. And I can't think of any other team that deserves it more than they do.
Plus, they had their coach go to Twitter to try and land games, Asia. I mean, let's be honest. Jeff was out marketing in December trying to find people to play. I mean, that was crazy, wasn't it?
He definitely was, and that's how he is. He just wants to play no matter what. He just wants to play, and he's a competitor, and that's what I love about Coach Walls. He always wants to play, and that's exactly how his players are too. We just want to play, you know, and that just speaks volumes of him as a coach and him as a person too.
All right, I want. I know you're taking the year off from the WNBA. I know you had a tough battle with the coronavirus. On the whole, you're doing better, though, is what I understand, right?
I am doing better. Yes, excuse me. I'm still striving to play this year. We just have to see, you know, what's what. I have a few doctor's appointments coming up, and you know, just to see where I am health wise. But I'm fighting consistently day in and day out to make this a consistent game. But one thing about post-COVID is just so unpredictable. You just don't know what you're going to get. One day you feel amazing, and then the next you just feel blah. You feel sick. You feel like you want to just stay in bed throughout the whole day. But it fluctuates so much as far as symptom-wise, so that's why you just got to, you know, stay strong and just stay positive and practice gratitude.
Amen to that. Well, we wish you you know, the best on that front, needless to say. I want to ask you, though, Asia, a big picture question regarding women's basketball, because it has changed so drastically. And people will say, oh, it's totally different than it was 10, 15 years ago. Forget 10 or 15 years ago. How about just the last four or five? I mean, the quality of play, the size, the physicality. We saw the physicality last night in Baylor UConn. Where, hey, you know what? You come in the paint, you better have your head on straight, right? And the ability to shoot and everything else. I mean, it's amazing how much better the women's game is now than it was just even in recent memory.
Definitely, yeah. It has definitely changed. It's crazy. I was just scrolling through my timeline last night, and people were saying the same thing, how it's changed and it's grown within the last 3 to 4 years. It's like you scroll on your timeline, and all you see is women's basketball, you know, and that's just beautiful. That's amazing. You know, you see so many professional basketball players tuned in to these college games, right? And it's just amazing how it's growing. And yes, they were definitely physical. I'm glad they let them play, and they weren't calling they weren't calling cheap fouls, because let them play. These women are super strong. Let them showcase that strength that they worked hard for, you know. So I was very proud on how that game was called. I think it was a great game. It was a fast-paced game. It was amazing. It was simply, you know, just fun to watch. That was a great game.
Hey, Asia, I want you to be honest with me now. If Dana Evans has the ball in her hands tonight against Stanford.
Oh, no.
Clock's ticking down. 5-4. Dana makes a move to the basket. She goes up. She gets hit on the arm during the shot and in the face. You mean to tell me you're not going to be screaming at the top of your lungs? That's a foul. Blow the whistle. I mean, I want you to be honest with me.
I'm going to be honest. Yeah, that's definitely, that would be a foul. I'll even tell you, last night when Eugene Carrington went to the rack to shoot that, that was a foul, too.
Right.
They should have called that a foul.
Yeah, that's right.
See it on the picture. She was hit on her arm, clear as day. It should have been a foul.
Yeah.
Yeah, granted.
Okay.
I do understand refs try not to be the determining factor of the game, but you gotta call that.
Yep.
That was definitely a foul.
All right.
Yeah. You're right.
All right, Asia, I just want to get clarity because I know how this works with some schools and former players. Is there a group text tonight going during this game of former players? Is that the way this works tonight? And how big is the group chat?
It's not a group text going on. Well, not for me. We just always – we're on Twitter. We're always tweeting out to each other and tweeting out to the team and just – tweeting out what we see. So I would say Twitter would be
okay.
Our new form of group chat, but I'm not
all
in
right.
Group chat. I'm not sure if they are.
Okay.
No.
All right. I know some schools, former players during games now, it gets rough. It's over the top. They're like, you know, 6-7 dozen different former players all on a group chat. It gets, I mean, it's full-blown analysis now.
Yeah, I could only imagine. That brings me back to college days. So that was fun where we had our little group chat going during college. So I can only imagine that, you know, some former players do have that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Asia, stay safe. We really do appreciate it. And hopefully you're 1,000% on your feet and doing the thing you love to do the most. But we wish you the very best.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you for having me. It was truly a pleasure.
Well, our pleasure. Asia Durr, one of the greatest players in Louisville women's basketball history and certainly an ACC legend as well. Great to have her on Packer and Durham. Hope we can bring her back soon, and we wish her all the best in her recovery from the coronavirus. All right, when we return, some of you have submitted thoughts for one sentence per team, and teams without titles. Oh, Knowles. Goodness, Pack. We'll come back and discuss final half hour on the Tuesday program next.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
It's cool to have Asia Durr on. Hopefully she'll be up and running at 100%. Man, what a player she is. Holy mackerel. Can she play?
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Durham.
I had a chance to see her play. I had a chance to see her play in high school. One of my good friends was her high school coach. You talk about taking a game. Like, you know, we all saw really gifted high school players, right? I mean, guys who were like going to be that at the next level. Well, you had that expectation when you walked in the gym, and she took it and went that way with it.
Wow.
I mean, like, you thought she was going to be good, and she wasn't even good. She was great. And you're thinking, wow, holy smokes.
Isn't that cool when you
see – and what a player she was at Louisville.
You know, great player. But isn't it cool when you see a high school player get hyped and you go say, all right, I'm going to go with football game, basketball game, whatever it is, whatever the sport. And then all of a sudden you see him, you go, whoa. And then they turn out to be as good as advertised. That's always a cool feeling. Cool feeling. All right.
Exactly. She was that for sure.
You and I have always laughed and had a good time with accounting. And we're done with our accounting. For the year. But it leads to a question for the ACC men's basketball teams. And we're going to show everybody our last accounting that we did. We haven't tweaked it. To my knowledge, we haven't tweaked it. At least I haven't. And I'm going to go first, but it's going to lead to a question. All right, here's accounting. The last time we did it, Virginia 1, Florida State 2, Virginia Tech 3, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't have a Sweet 16 in there. We just eliminated that part just for this exercise. All right, and now so there it is, right? Virginia 1, Florida State 2, Hokies 3. Wes, here we go with Wes's. Yeah. Virginia 1, Florida State 2, Georgia Tech 3, Virginia Tech 4. So, I mean, we're kind of in the neighborhood for the most part. But we got Virginia on the one line in our last accounting. Now, of course, we have the ACC tournament. Georgia Tech goes on to win it. Virginia's got to say, you know, sorry, we're out of town due to the COVID issue. Wes, if I ask you the question today, the best team in the ACC for men's basketball this season is, and or really was, fill in the blank. How do you answer that question?
I mean, the one time we saw Florida State and Virginia play, Florida State won the game convincingly, right?
Thumped them.
But I hate to say this, and look, we touched on this yesterday, and we're going to end up back in this conversation again at some point in the offseason. The door that the Noles couldn't walk through at the end of the regular season in the tournament carried on to not just Greensboro, but carried on to Indianapolis too, Pac.
That's right.
I mean, it was disappointing at best. And I feel for Leonard Hamilton. I mean, Virginia played great. Now, the problem is we got to this point during the year where do you penalize teams because of the COVID pause? You're kind of left with an unknown there, I think. And it's hard to me to separate Virginia and Florida State. Yes, I know Florida State won the head-to-head game. But when Florida State had opportunities to do things, it didn't happen, right? It just didn't happen. They lost the game at Notre Dame. They didn't win the tournament. And obviously, you know, got to the Sweet 16, but didn't play great at all in the NCAA tournament, I think.
No, not to the standard we expected. That's why, trying to answer this question, and I think that if you tried to do this at home and you took all those sharp objects out of the room and you said, all right, at the end of the year, as empty a feeling as we have for the men's side, who was right. The best team? Now, the folks in Atlanta right down the street from you are going to go, hey, boys, you want to see what the banner looks like? Come on down into Atlanta. We'll show you. We got it.
Okay.
Keep in mind
right.
now. But sure. I was going to say, but keep in mind, and I'll take another away from anybody here, the Jackets won a couple games.
Right.
They won two games. And we're fortunate to get by Miami and then obviously took care of business to beat Florida State when it mattered. So I think trying to answer this question, it's really kind of perfect that we can't answer it because it's really indicative to me of the season.
I agree with that. And I think, look, and this is not to take anything away from Georgia Tech winning the tournament, okay? Because I know what it means to Josh Pastner. We understand the value of that, right? We talked about it. First time since 93, all those things. Moses Wright being the ACC Player of the Year. We're going to take all these things, and 5 years from now, Mark, I don't know how we're going to look back on this season. Are we going to look back on it as an asterisk? That's not fair. It's not fair to Georgia Tech. They won the regular season.
No.
They won the tournament.
They got
Virginia
the belt.
Won the regular season. Right. So we're going to honor the fact that they were able to get through this. But let's also remember how difficult a process this was. I mean, you know, in a normal year, we can't project because this was anything but a normal year. But it shouldn't take away from Virginia winning the regular season, Georgia Tech winning the tournament, individual honors, coaching, whatever. But this year is going to be looked upon as a different year. But we're going to put it in a record book. And when we put it in a record book, it's going to look just like a normal year. It's going to look just like 1984. It's going to look just like 2015, 2017, 2019.
I don't think in all the years that I've been alive and have watched and loved ACC basketball, I don't think there's ever been a year in which at the end of the season, if you asked a fan, the best team in the ACC this year is, you'd get an instant answer. You pick a year, instant answer. This year, I don't.
Right.
I think there will be a pause even for a Georgia Tech fan, a Virginia fan, a
yep.
Florida State fan. There would be a pause to how do you answer that question. And this is why I said to you yesterday off the air, you know, I think Florida State was the most talented team after you took inventory of watching everybody all year. But the most talented
right.
team in the league did not win the regular season and did not win the conference tournament.
Yeah.
So how do you answer the question?
That's fair.
I don't know how you answer this question.
Okay. All right, then how many times can we go back in ACC basketball and pinpoint the most talented team not winning the tournament or not winning a national championship?
It
happens. It happens a lot in this league. I mean, that 40-year window we just dove back through earlier in the hour, how many times did the most talented team not win the tournament or not win a national championship?
Well, this is why this year is so difficult to try to answer this question.
Like I said,
if you're a Virginia, I try to put myself as if I was the biggest Virginia homer on the planet and go, well, let me tell you guys why Virginia's the best. You know what? I think even a Virginia fan would pause because there were moments where you knew that, you know what? We played Florida State once and we saw them in Tallahassee and they blew us out of the water. Right. And you know what? We had an unbalanced schedule and not everybody played the same amount of games. And, you know, maybe we would have won the ACC tournament if we didn't get COVID. Right. You know, we'll never know the answer to that. And like I said, I'm not taking anything away from Georgia Tech because they've got the belt. They got the banner and they want to hear about woulda, coulda, and shoulda because they did it. And if you're Florida State, you're looking around like, man, there were so many opportunities to close the deal. And you mentioned South Bend, Indiana, end of the regular season. Didn't show up. Laid an egg. Ended up the 2 seed. Got to the ACC
Chapel
tournament.
Hill up 17 second half.
And got to close, right? You know, you're playing Georgia Tech for the ACC title. You have 25 turnovers and still lose a close game. It was a weird year at the top. Really strange.
No question. And I think that's the thing. We're just going to have to take it and process it. Now, 3 to 5 years from now, how are we going to look back on it? I don't know that. History gets weird sometimes. But the number one thing, and I'll say this, remember when you laughed at me when we talked about the 1918-1919 football season in college? Okay. Well, guess what? We're going to look at ACC basketball and all the congruency and all the history and all the things that ACC basketball has given us. We're going to look at 2021 and go, what in the world? Somebody played 16 games. Somebody else played 20-some. Somebody else played 11. I mean, what? You know, that's just what this is going to be. And it was difficult. We got through it. It wasn't successful to the standard we've become accustomed to. But it's not an indictment of the league. That's the one thing in the last 48 hours that I don't think we can get caught up in. Yeah, was it a different year in the league? Sure it was. But it's not an indictment of where ACC basketball is. Yeah, there wasn't first, second, or third team All-American. There wasn't a top 10 team. There weren't some of the things that we had taken for granted. But do I think it's an outlier? Yes. Do I think the league's got a chance to come back strong? Yes. It needs to come back strong. Because remember now, the one thing I will caution about 21 – had we had the tournament in 20, what would we have seen, Pac? Do we know what we would have seen in 20? No. That is the greatest unknown. And Vital can write the book and things like that about the tournament we missed and everything else. We thought Florida State had a chance to get to Atlanta. We agree on that, right? We thought Florida State had a chance. Virginia was playing well enough to potentially get to Atlanta. We thought that too. But we don't know. Now, are 20 and 21 tied together? In some ways, yes. But what we can't do is take the last year and a half, or this year in particular, and make it an indictment of the 40-year product that we just showed you earlier in the hour, too.
Well, I'll just say this before we get to some fan reaction here. If there's chalk tonight in Indianapolis for the men, as goofy and weird as this year has been, and as goofy as this tournament has been, guess what, boys and girls?
Right.
You're going to have a 1, a 1, a 1, and a 2 seed in the Final Four.
Right.
Just saying.
That's it.
Just saying. All right. Now, we were doing one sentence for one season for one team for everybody in the ACC.
Yeah.
We got some social reaction to some of these, and you and I did this a whole exercise, and we gave our sentence for each team in the league. Let's look at a couple of these, if you do not mind, before we go to break.
Sure.
Cuse Orange Man 44 chimes in and goes, riding pizza and buckets all the way to the Sweet 16. 100%. Now, you and I had the same kind of mindset with Syracuse, right?
Yeah.
You want to see a little bit more before March. I said better late than never. But, riding pizza and buckets all the way to the Sweet 16, that would be true. That'd be true. All right, how about some more? Give me some more.
Yeah, this is Homeburg, COVID pauses killed Hokies' momentum. I don't disagree with that.
Not the only one.
Don't disagree with that at all.
Not the only one.
That's not an exclusive list.
Yeah, get in line.
Mr. Ardor, we have met the enemy and he is us. Carolina basketball.
That's true. You know, that is true.
Look, very true. Rbarb 65. Of all the NC State men's basketball seasons, this was one.
Oh, come on, Raj.
Cynical crowd we got this morning.
Come on, Raj. Oh,
we got a cynical group.
I mean, NC
cynical
State,
fruit.
NC State showed some life after the Devin Daniels injury. Yeah. I mean, it would have been really easy for NC State to wave the white flag and go, hey, we're toast. We'll catch you guys later. See you. But that's not what happened. They showed some spunk down the stretch.
Yeah. Cole Parsons offers up Miami, and you got to kind of know what's going on here. Only 6 scholarships players available for the game today.
That became
a note for Miami basketball seemingly the last 2/3 of the season.
Yep.
Literally a release would come out and say only 6 scholarship players available for the game today.
And that's exactly why my sentence for Miami was, is anybody healthy? ? Because that was the problem. And I'm telling you, I really, really, if they could have figured out a way to get everybody whole at Miami, I thought they would have been really good. Like, threatening good. Just saying.
And Isaiah Wong was good, by the way.
Oh, tremendous.
Isaiah Wong was sensational. Yeah, he's somebody to get excited about for next year. All right. Thanks, everybody, for contributing. Appreciate it. Fun stuff. When we come back, it's funny. We're trickling into some on this dates note.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you what. Now, our boy Penley in Clemson.
Yes, sir. Count it.
Go Tigers. The Mark Packer alumni tour for Penley.
Another W.
Continues to rack up success. More on Packers Roomie after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of the show today. Great guests as always. The smart people in Bristol.
Yeah.
Chrissy, Matt, Josh, Drew. Cast of thousands. Always do a great job. We try to cover all the sports in this league, as you well know. Give everybody as much love as possible. Dishing out assists when we can.
Yeah.
But, man, I was a fired-up golf alum yesterday because I was checking the leaderboard. And guess who was going low yesterday? The mighty Clemson Tiger men's golf program, led by my man Larry Penley. Win number 81 in his career. He is one away from the all-time
man,
Jesse Haddock. How about that?
Don't screw him up, Penley. Don't screw him up.
Man, they went down to Sawgrass to the Clemson Owns This Joint Invitational, and I'm telling you, the boys put a curtain on it.
That's not what it's called.
Yes, it's called.
That's
the Clemson
not
Owns
what it's
This
called.
Joint Invitational.
No.
Number one,
it's
Florida
not.
State was there. Number 3, Wake Forest was there. And it was rear view mirror time for Clemson men's golf because they put everybody in
the dust. I mean,
in the dust.
The flag is flying high right now.
I am not a non-biased announcer. I'm talking about my guy, Larry
Clemson
Penley.
Owns this.
Look at these guys.
Oh, my God.
Total domination.
Look at Penley. What's Penley carrying? What's he got? A little crystal water glass? What's that?
That's number 81 under his arm right there. Number 81 for my man Penley. Look at those guys right there.
Golly, is that a golf team or is that a volleyball team?
We got a bunch of...
Look at the size on those guys.
We got a bunch of grown men and incredible athletes, Clemson golf. It all started back in the early 80s.
No, it didn't. With Dillard Pruitt. No, it didn't. It did not.
Yeah, we didn't look like that.
No.
No, we had a little
no,
more,
you did not.
Had a few more beer guts on my team.
Not at all.
That group right there, like a bunch of athletes, know what they're doing.
Yeah. Those people hit the weight room, not the Esso Club.
Oh, that's a good point. But hey, that was our only training facility back then.
We
don't have world-class facilities like we do now. The Esso Club's where we went as golf team members to discuss how to hit cut shots and all that other stuff.
All right. All right. Very quickly, for the record, Kyle Cottom, Turk Pettit, Colby Patton, Jacob Bridgman all broke par yesterday for Clemson to win the John Haidt Invitational, not the Clemson owns this whatever deal that you talked about.
Clemson owns this John Invitational. That's what it's called down here in Sawgrass.
That's it. No, that's not what it's called. All right, we're moving on. Congratulations to Larry Penley. Career win 81 as Pac said he's one shy of the great Jesse Haddock at Wake Forest. Now, on this date, 1991, Indianapolis, Indiana, the Hoosier Dome. Hello. Duke upset Vegas. National semifinal, 79-77. Always good when you get a Greg Kubak picture.
Yeah.
And George Ackles. There's Bobby Hurley against Anderson Hunt. That's a charge. Wasn't called. By the way, that was a charge. Here's Leitner. Is that David Butler trying to defend?
That's a foul right there, too.
This was game two. This was game two, by the way, of the national semifinal. Carolina, Kansas was game one that day at the Hoosier Dome.
Dean, tossing you out of here. I was at that.
We're not
doing
that.
I will tell you.
I know.
I was there that day. And I've told you this probably 100 times, but my seat was literally above the entrance for the North Carolina team. And I saw Bill Guthridge, the late, great Bill Guthridge, go after Pete Pavia after the game. They pinned him up. Talk about Bill Guthridge up against the wall. That might have been the craziest, wildest semifinal I ever saw in person. Hard to believe that was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Incredible day of basketball.
Good on this date stuff this week, by the way. By the way, very quickly, congratulations to the former Georgia Tech football star Morgan Burnett, who announced his retirement from the NFL yesterday, won a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers, grew up in the Atlanta area, was an All-America at Georgia Tech, star of Paul Johnson's early teams in Atlanta. So congratulations to Morgan Burnett on a wonderful football career. We wish him the very best with his family in the Atlanta area. Thanks to everybody for a great show. Wednesday should be even better. We'll see you at 7 a.m. on ACC Network. Have a great day.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.